May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry, Mac, we really needed to have the epistle because that's what I'm preaching on tonight. So anyway, all right, from Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. The grace of God has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ himself. The grace of God has become incarnate for us. The Son of God became man for the salvation of all people. Now, one thing that's interesting is I was working on this and doing the translation from the Greek. It reminded me that we've got to be really careful about how we translate the scriptures. David pointed that out on Sunday about Elizabeth. We have to be careful how we translate, but we also have to be careful how we read and how we use the words of the Holy Scriptures. Let me give you an example. When we were in the Episcopal Church, I had a lay reader, a young man, who was reading from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. And he was trying to be emphatic in reading. And so he got to verse 26 in chapter 9 of Hebrews, and he said, "He appeared to take away sin." Well, when you think about that, he appeared to take away sin. No, he actually did take away sin. But the way he read it, the emphasis was all in the wrong place. And so it sounded like he didn't really take away sin. He just appeared to do that. The Greek word order in this particular verse is really important then, because Paul puts the word appear at the beginning. It's epiphano. Epiphane, which is where we get the word epiphany, okay? Manifested, appeared. And what he's saying is, appeared the grace of God bringing salvation. The emphasis is on the manifestation of the grace of God, the manifestation of the incarnate word, the manifestation of Jesus Christ for the salvation of all mankind. And this is a declaration for us of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Now, Father David sounded a little worried this past Sunday about whether or not he should be preaching an incarnation sermon on the fourth Sunday of Advent. It's no problem. See, Father Chris took care of Advent on the third Sunday when he did the Gaudete sermon. Then, see, Father David took care of the incarnation on the fourth Sunday of Advent. Now I've got the Epiphany covered. Father Chris can preach Ash Wednesday next Sunday. And shoot, we could have Easter by the middle of January and Pentecost before January's over. Hey, it's season saving time in the Charismatic Episcopal Church. I don't think so, but it's a good idea anyway. But this epistle reminds us that all of this, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, all of the seasons of the church year, all of it is all about Jesus. He came to save all of mankind. That's the message. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about Easter, Advent, Christmas, Epiphany. It's all about Jesus. Well, this epistle tells us that Jesus will appear. Jesus will be incarnate for us in three appearings. Okay, three manifestations. In verse 11, Titus 2, verse 11, says that he appeared bringing salvation to all men. That's the incarnation. Then in verse 13, Paul says, we are awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're waiting for the second coming of Christ. But then sandwiched between verses 11 and 13, we have verse 12. And Paul is reminding us that God sent his son to train us to live godly lives in this present age, the here and the now. So the incarnate God has appeared also in the moment, in this present age as well. So let's look at these three appearings. First, the incarnation. It's interesting that the word incarnation cannot be found in the Bible. It isn't there. You know, there are those who will argue then that it is not part of the scriptural message, in the same way that they would argue that the Trinity is not part of the scriptural message, because the word Trinity isn't found anywhere in the Bible. So where do we get this word incarnation, and why is it important to us? Well, it comes to us through the Creed, the Nicene Creed. Every Sunday, and even tonight, we proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ, and we say that he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit. That word incarnate is a Latin word, and it is used to translate the Greek word, which says he was made flesh. And that's what the word incarnate means, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was made flesh of the Virgin Mary that he might bring the grace of God for salvation to all mankind. The truth of our Lord's incarnation is found throughout the New Testament. You see it first and foremost in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1, verse 14, John says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory." Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, that Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And St. John tells us in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 2, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And very poignantly, Paul says to Timothy, we confess the mystery of godliness, that he was manifested in the flesh. And so we proclaim, he appeared, bringing salvation to all men. He, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has become incarnate. All right, that's the first. The second appearing that we want to look at is that Jesus promised that he would come again. And we again affirm that in the Nicene Creed. We say, he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. And in verse 13 of the epistle tonight, St. Paul says, we are awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior. Jesus is our great God. He is God himself incarnate. Father David talked about this on Sunday. I don't need to rehash everything that he said in regards to that. But he was born of the flesh of the Virgin Mary. And that was a wonderful and poignant sermon that he preached. So I commend it to you. But he is God incarnate. And he will come again. He was incarnate. And our incarnate God will return in glory. He will appear again. And so that brings us to the third appearing. He appears to us now, in the present age. He is present incarnationally for us today. How is that possible? Well, his body appears for us in the Holy Eucharist. What is it that we receive every time we receive the Holy Eucharist? We receive his body and his blood. He also appears to us in the body of Christ, the gathering of God's people. Now, mind you, we have been thwarted somewhat in that endeavor of being gathered. But thanks be to God that God has given us this means where we can come together via Zoom. I don't know who actually came up with Zoom, but he probably is going to inherit a place in the kingdom of heaven because he's keeping the Christians all connected. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But whether we are physically present one to another or whether we are spiritually present to one another, we are the body of Christ and we are the manifestation of Christ to the world. He is appearing to the world through his people, his body, and we are witnesses of Christ in that way. We need one another. We need to be encouraging one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 emphasizes that there is no unimportant part of the body. We are all needed. We all need to come together in Jesus Christ regularly to be encouraged, to receive his body and blood through the Eucharist, and to be the body manifested to the world. And Paul did say, too, about all of this, that Jesus came, but he is also present. He appears now in this present age, and he is training us to live godly lives in this present age. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, St. John says that he is preparing his bride, and he is clothing her in righteous deeds. In verse 14, he goes on to say, why is he doing this? He is doing this to purify for himself a people for his own possession. He wants to be married to us, the bridegroom and the bride, that we may be one. And all of that is taking place now in this present age. So Jesus appeared in the fullness of time. He will appear again at the end of time in great glory. But most importantly for us tonight, he is present with us right here, right now, wherever you are. Jesus Christ is present with you because you are part of this greater body of Jesus Christ. He appears to us in the sacrament of the altar. Thanks be to God, we have the ability to do that tonight. He is with us moment by moment for those who are looking for the signs of his appearing. And he is profoundly present with us as we gather together to worship in one body. So Jesus is preparing his bride. Now more than ever, we need to be looking for that appearing in our worship, in our fellowship, and in the Word of God. And I would say, even in the signs, like the wonderful signs in the sky, we need to be looking for him wherever we may see him. Actually, Jody shared with me earlier today what a remarkable experience it was for her to see that sign in the heavenlies. I'll ask her to share that a little bit later. But he is remaking his body in his image. Sometimes that's a painful process. Sometimes it requires a breaking of the old that we may be remade anew in him. But he is preparing his bride that he may purify for himself his bride, his people, for his own possession. Let him work his love and incarnate grace in you. Amen.